What's up, everybody? This is Joe.
And this is Chrissy.
And welcome to The Married Life.
Where we want to help you build a stronger marriage, to create stronger families so that we can form stronger communities.
Obviously, you guys can tell that we talk about who's going to do the intro every time because we just wait for the other person to say it. Well, listen, if this is your first time joining us, not only do we have resources on this podcast, but also on our website, themarriedlife.org, where Chrissy has a blog. We have coaching available that if you need marriage coaching, you can sign up for that. You can also give towards The Married Life Ministry, so you can go check out themarriedlife.org today. But we are in the Song of Solomon. In case you don't know, Chrissy and I are pastors, so we believe that the best way to have a healthy marriage is for it to be built on the Word of God, on Jesus Christ, on how He says marriage is supposed to be. And yeah, when you look at Song of Solomon, it's a love story. Right. So we are diving into Song of Solomon. We talked about the characteristics of a godly man. Mm-hmm. Last week, we hit on that for a woman. And there's just so many good things about a woman we didn't finish. So
I like how you worded that.
You're welcome. It's true. I absolutely love you. So yeah, a lot of good things about you. So we are going into part two. So Chrissy, why don't you jump us off?
Yeah. So we kind of touched base on this a little bit, but we're going to go back to it. And we're reading in Song of Solomon 1:4.
It says that we have not gone that far. Three podcasts in, we're on verse four.
I know. We're reading like you do.
I know. Hey, but I promise next week we're going to be in chapter two because I already worked on that today. So we're about to film these back to back. And I'm excited about chapter two. It's all about dating. And I love dating you. So
I'm glad. I like dating you. Oh. All right. We're in Song of Solomon 1:4. It says, "The king has brought me into his chambers. We will exalt and rejoice in you. He will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you."
Yep. And so reading this, he is king. This is King Solomon. This is a true story. Okay. This isn't made up. But even saying that, the honor, and again, we hit on honor last week, mm-hmm, and respect, the honor she is giving him, again, saying that he is the head, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bible is clear that the men are the head of the home. But if we say anything, and I've heard another pastor say this, and it's true, you wives, you Chrissy, you're the backbone.
Right.
You know, the home does not run.
Holding that head up.
You know what I mean?
Big old head.
It's true. This home does not run.
I'm talking about physically, not metaphorically, people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she does make fun of the size of my cranium. But it's very true, women, that we do. Us men are the head, but you are the backbone. And just how much, and you know, again, I've heard someone say it this way, the thermostat and the thermometer, help me out.
You'll get it. No, thermometer. I don't
need to
do it.
That, you know, you set the temperature in the home.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is literally, and it is too hot in this place. So anyways.
Well, the Bible also says that we are to submit to one another first.
Yep.
But in talking about the women, we need to look at 1 Peter 3:1, and it says, likewise wives, be subject to your own husbands. Insert Chrissy's note here. It does not say other men. It does not say your boss. It says your own husband. You don't have to submit to other men, even men in the church. Your own husband. Submit to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
And I think this is so good. And I know this is a touchy subject, and sometimes there might have been like abuse or something in the past where submission for women is actually really hard. And maybe the abuse wasn't in the past. Maybe it's current. One, get out. Like, I'm not talking about submitting to somebody who is abusive to you. That's right. Not what we're talking about here. If somebody is abusing you in any type of way, like, you need to remove yourself from the situation. So that's not what we're talking about here. But as a biblical marriage, we are called as women to submit to our husbands. And I think that we need to look at this just a little bit different way. Women, don't tune us out quite yet, because I know this is just a touchy subject for some people. Submission is an invitation to allow your husband to lead. And I have heard so many women talking about their husbands. I just want him to lead. I just want him to lead. I just want him to lead. But you're not submitting They can't lead if you don't submit, because you're trying to take the reins, you're trying to take over. And it's not that I don't have a voice. I have a voice with you. I tell you what to do a lot.
Yep.
But you ultimately make the final decision. And I think this might be hard for people at first, because there's that tension and there's no trust. But once you start to give a little of trust, or give a little submission, or give a little, you know, for them to lead, then you start to build trust, and then. But we have to do it first as women.
You know what it reminds me of? That sometimes as a husband, that it feels like a wife is trying to keep us on a leash. And it's like, well, I'll give you this much, right? Like a dog, like, you know, those leashes that extend. It's like, I'll give you this much that you can lead me this much, but too far and I'm pulling you back.
Yeah.
And like I said it before, that we did not marry you to have another mother.
Right.
We already have a mother.
Yeah.
We married you to be a wife. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing, I shouldn't say nothing, but one of the best things that a man can receive from his wife is to see that she believes in him.
Yeah.
That even if, like, listen, ladies, you might be the prayer warrior in your house, mm-hmm. but he says, you know what, honey, let's pray tonight. And his prayer is, Lord, thank you for my wife. Amen. You got to pat that on the back. You know what I mean? Like, we are dogs. What gets celebrated gets repeated.
Yeah.
And so you get excited when he takes those steps, you know, especially when you're letting, when you are truly submitting and watching him lead, cheer him on. Mm-hmm. Because again, we talked about this before. In this world, there's so many things that are pulling him down.
Yeah.
He needs you to be that cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And it really does take humility. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't. As wives, we just need to be humble in this area and allow them to mess up. I mean, it's gonna happen. They're not perfect creatures. You mess up. Give them grace when they do it. And just be humble about it. Don't pull out the I told you so when he does, because it's gonna happen when he does. Don't say that.
Yep.
Just be like, all right, here we go. We're going to pick it up. We're going to keep going. Just be supportive. And so I know what you're thinking. I know what you're saying, women. Well, this isn't my personality. Our personalities clash. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. I'm a this. I'm a blah, blah, blah. That's fine. You can be that person. Don't change. But personality tests are to help you realize your weaknesses too. It's not just about your strengths. Sometimes your strengths will help you in your career, but they will kill you in your marriage. You can be killing it at your job because you're the greatest leader, you know all the things, you're organized, you're this, that, and the other. But that very thing might be the one thing that's ruining your marriage. You don't need to lead and do and organize your husband. You need to submit to him. And so just be self-aware. Go get a personality test. Take all the personality tests. Figure out your weaknesses. How can you help and support your husband?
Yeah, because submission is just saying that your thing is more important than my thing.
Yeah.
That's what submission is.
And let's go back. It says we're called to submit to one another.
Yep.
And so you say that my thing is more important than your thing, and I say yours is more important than mine.
Yeah.
And when we can do that, when something happens, you drop everything, you help me. And when something happens with you, I drop everything and I help you. And that's true submission.
Yep.
And it's going to be a really happy marriage.
Yep, for sure it is.
Except when it's the baby. Don't drop the baby.
I took him on a bike ride today.
You did not.
I'm kidding. My mom was here and she was freaking out because I put him on the bike. I'm like, all right, I'm going for a bike ride. She's like, no. Joseph, you almost gave your mother a heart attack.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, thank you. Okay, going on to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. I am very dark but lovely. This is talking about you, because when you get tan, you look Latino. You look,
it's
more Italian than I do. You know what I mean? Like, you look like you're from Italy. It says, I am very dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze on me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my vineyard I have not kept. Now, if you're like wondering what the heck is she talking about right here? So she was tan.
Yeah.
She's saying it right now. Now, back in biblical times, tan was not hot.
Right.
Actually, tan meant you were outside working, like she's just describing. It meant she was a worker.
Yeah.
What usually women who were well off looked like was pasty, pale, and bigger.
Fluffy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like you could tell that someone was well off if they were pasty and bigger because they could eat everything and be inside all day.
Right, and not work.
Exactly. And she's saying the opposite. I am very dark. And again, like even what she looks like, don't look upon me because she's embarrassed. But this is nothing to be embarrassed about. This is humility.
Yeah.
And this is what women, again, and again, not just women. And that's why I got to like, I almost have to stop talking during this podcast.
No, it's good. It's biblical. So just keep going.
Okay. But just the humility that is so important to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a balance because what we've seen before and have experienced is that humility and what is that word? Like there's a fine line between humility and starting to talk negative about yourself, you know, because here she's not talking negative about herself. She's humbling herself.
Yeah.
But we can get to a part where you see yourself so lowly that you don't see yourself as a husband sees you.
Yeah.
You know, I say it all the time to you when you make a comment about yourself, I'm like, don't talk to my wife like that because it's like, my wife is fine, you know? And when you make a comment, I'm like, no, like stop that.
Yeah.
So anyways, the exterior isn't as important as the interior.
Yeah.
And her mind, like she is sharing that. She's being open and honest what her exterior looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But the main focus when you're looking through Song of Solomon is what's on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not saying like don't take care of yourself because that actually is a very important part of your marriage. You need to bring your very best to your spouse, husbands and wives. But wives, don't get caught up in the exterior crap of all the things on Instagram. Like, don't be that person. Work on the inside, and then the beauty will truly come out. Listen, I mean, if you're watching me on YouTube, I'm like on the struggle bus with these wrinkles, and I'm trying very hard to get rid of them. It's all down here from here, ladies. Like, it's all down. You better stop talking right now.
Just listening.
It's all downhill, women. You can pay a lot of money to prolong that, but it's happening and I can't help it. And I can't help you because I can't help myself. But that's not what's important.
Nope.
The beauty comes from within, I promise. And so don't focus on those things. No, exterior.
You can pay all the money to nip it, to tuck it, to stuff it, but it don't matter. It's what's in the inside because that is what is going to continue to attract because gravity is
inevitable.
You know what I mean? It's inevitable. It's happening. Time is happening. There's no stopping it. But as you get older, your spirit and your inner beauty can grow,
right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we have to, again, us men too, have to work on. And even looking at this, as she's talking, like a godly woman is grateful.
Yeah.
Like we have to, again, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago about being content,
yeah,
like where you're at, you know, like she's not saying here that she hates herself. She's content where she's at, you know, not I wish I was this or I wish I had that. You know, it's we can always look forward. We can always look back. But I heard somebody say this, you know, we always say like, oh, those are the good old days. It's like you're living in the good old days.
Right.
You just don't recognize it right now. And as husbands, as wives, as a married couple, we have to recognize that. Like us wrestling kids to bed on a Tuesday night, recording two podcasts, a church video, you know, another video that we posted on WhatsApp, you know, like there's, and these are the good old days, setting up cameras, having our dog barge in, you know, like these are the good old days.
Yeah.
And so we got to remember
that's
these.
So good. Yeah. Just being grateful and being in the moment. I follow actually a girl on Instagram. She's my friend. And, Kirsten Greaser, actually, if you listen, she is just always the most grateful person. She lives on a farm with her three kids and her husband. And I don't want to say she lives a simple life because her life is very busy, but she keeps her kids a priority. She's working. She's keeping her husband her focus. And I really admire that because I can just tell she is so grateful for every crazy, chaotic, frustrating moment in her life. And I honestly, you know, want to be that. You know, I just see it through her post. And we just constantly need to check our hearts, check ourselves. Am I grateful? Maybe that's if you're having problems in your marriage, maybe that's where you need to start. What are you grateful for? in your spouse, there's always going to be frustrating things. They're always going to irritate you and do things that irritate you.
Yep.
Irritating is a really good word.
It is.
And but you need to be grateful in the midst of it all, and you need to find something that you're grateful for.
All right. Verse 9 through 11. I compare you, my love, to a mar among Pharaoh's chariots. Now, we're talking about some horses here. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments. There it is. Your neck with strings of jewels. We will make for you ornaments of gold studded with silver. Again, this is just like what I said earlier. Don't talk to my wife like that. You know what I mean? Like, when you're starting to talk to yourself in a negative way, husbands, we do need to speak up to our wives and tell them what we see that is beautiful about them.
Yeah.
How much we love them, how much we care about them, that when they're saying that they, you know, feel this way or that way because of this or that, because of gravity, because of whatever, you know, it's you speak life into them.
Yep. No, that's so good. Yep. And then in 12 verse 14, it says, while the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lies between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyard of En-Gedi. So En-Gedi here, guys, is like an oasis in the middle of a desert. It's the place that has fresh water and flowers, and it's beautiful, and it's the place of rest and peace and that place of comfort when you're, you know, out in this crazy world. You want to go to En-Gedi. And so as women, are you creating En-Gedi for your spouse, for your husband? When your husband comes home, is he excited to enter in, or is he like, oh, I gotta go home, or whatever, like it's the garage door trigger. When you hear that garage door, is it like, oh, you know? This should be an oasis. Your home should be an oasis for your husband. Create an atmosphere where there's peace. And honestly, it sounds simple. It's not just like not fighting. It's structure. It's having things ready, thinking ahead of time. Like, I'm not very structured with my kids just for the sake of it. I want my kids to have structure. So at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, when they go to bed, we have time together every single night. They're not up. They're not in our beds. I sleep train my kids because they are not in my bed.
Yep.
It's an En-Gedi.
Yep.
Like, I want you to be peaceful in this home. I want this home to have structure. You're just creating this atmosphere for your spouse to say, come rest.
Yep.
Come. I want you to come. I mean, we talk about our kids when they grow up. We want them to want to come back home. Yep. Well, I don't want to wait. I want you to want to come home when you're done with work.
Yep.
From the office that's in our home. But, you know, life will eventually get back to normal. Praise God.
I would also say, ask your husband, how can I make this En-Gedi?
Yeah.
Because your En-Gedi looks different than his.
Yeah.
And his looks different than yours. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't marry yourself, you know, like, praise God, I didn't marry myself. Ooh. Oh my, yeah, right. So anyways, it's good to ask those questions. So anyways, now next week we're going to be going into talking about dating. Chapter 2. We've reached chapter 2. Here we go in Song of Solomon. Finally. So anyways, I'm Joe.
And I'm Chrissy.
And this is The Married Life, where we exist to help build stronger marriages, to create stronger families, to form stronger communities. You can visit us at themarriedlife.org, where you can get coaching, read blogs, see videos, and also where you can donate to the ministry. Oops, I just hit something. Hopefully it doesn't make a noise on the podcast. Anyways, we will see you guys next week right here. Peace.